Step
I, I've got my technicalities in order at the...
Well, 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 welcome to Between Sundays. I am Tyler, and we got some catching up to do, friend of the pod. It's 2019. We're kicking the year off right today, talking all about sin. Barry's here to tell us why we can break all the rules now, because sin is way different than that, right?
Yep.
But before we talk about last week's sermon, now that they're finished feeding the hungry beast outside their door, let's welcome in our favorite sinners and show them their own footholds. Marin and Barry, good day, guys.
Good
greetings.
Day. Good How day. Do you pod again?
Happy yes. New Year.
It's
one
officially
and
been
all.
A while.
It has been a long while.
Hoot nanny.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Hoot nanny.
Hoot nanny.
Guys, new year, new us.
That's right. New
right?
beginnings.
New yep. beginnings indeed.
You have no idea how long I've been waiting for this particular show because I want, we'll get to it, but I've wanted to talk about resolutions again for weeks.
We're gonna go back and yep. look at last year's.
We're gonna just Lord. Do some reflecting, some looking ahead. Man.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, it's been what, 3 weeks? Last time we saw each other was like.
Goodness gracious.
Before Christmas Eve.
Well, we've seen each other. The last time we've spoken in this context.
Right.
Yeah. Been a long time.
Barry, you don't need to step all
up. I've got my technicalities in order at the
as far
oh,
as the show is concerned.
Time, Barry.
Since
you've
heard
it's
the nerd voice.
Time.
Yeah.
Nerd voice made an appearance on the first episode of 2019.
Yep.
It's
going to
be a good year.
It's off to a great start.
Now you know.
Oh man, guys, what in the world is new with you?
Goodness gracious.
So much.
We were just talking about, are we supposed to go back and like revisit Christmas and New Year's, or do we just like start fresh?
Like how much do you want from us?
if that's what's on your heart today, let's talk about it.
I mean, I'm ready to
move on.
I'm ready to move on to 2019.
All right, let's
We've
do
already
it.
Had some cool stuff
what
happen.
What else is happening?
Well, okay. It's public now. I really don't think she would mind me saying this, but we found out that my future nephew, my sister Lucy is pregnant, and my future nephew who's due in, oh, I just gave it away.
You did.
It's a boy. Yeah.
We found out that my future nephew
oh,
is going to be a boy.
I'm really not good at that, apparently.
Awkward silence.
Welcome back. So, hey,
spoiler alert, everyone.
That was brilliant.
What an announcement.
So we found that out.
Oh my goodness.
Didn't even cross my mind.
Edit that out and redo it, but
no.
We are definitely on Facebook Live.
That's perfect.
And Olivia definitely saw that.
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
great. Congrats
so
to everybody.
The other exciting thing, and this is crazy, but Humphrey has a girlfriend. Humphrey is my pet rabbit.
Whoa, shift of topic.
Rabbit. Yeah.
Going to the bunny.
It's all family.
Humphrey
but,
has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Explain what the heck you mean.
So we have a pet rabbit named Humphrey, and we've been kind of thinking about getting him a companion because he spends a lot of the day just alone, and bunnies are social animals and they want to be with other bunnies. And so, but it's complicated because if you get the wrong bunny they'll just like fight or bite each other, and it can actually be really, really bad.
Bunnies will fight with each other?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Like, they're very territorial. They're very territorial. So you got to find ones that like totally click. And so the best way to do this is to actually take them on speed dating. And so this past Sunday after preaching, Liv and I piled our two foster buns and Humphrey into our car. And we drove down to the adoption center, the Indiana House Rabbit Society Adoption Center. And he went on some speed dates, and the first four, not so great.
No.
One of them, I've got this great photo of one of the buns with her eyes super huge. And I now it's like a insider bunny meme about like when you got set up on a blind date with somebody that you don't like. So,
are you doing this because you guys want another bunny, or are you doing this because it's what's best? Like, why are you taking him on dates?
We would love to have another
okay.
bunny in our family,
okay.
but it really would be great for Humphrey to have someone to hang out with.
Like,
because he gets really lonely.
Relationship oriented
like, yeah,
animals.
They are.
Okay.
They are.
Like,
so
cats couldn't care less, right?
Right.
But bunnies, you're saying that he needs it a would companion
be,
yeah, bunny.
If he had a girl, and it has to be like a girl and a boy is a good mix, or a boy and two girls. I don't know. So it's a good mix. And yeah. So basically they get bonded, and they're bonded for life if you get the right mix, which like one of them will literally die of sadness when the other one dies. It's crazy, but they'll just cuddle together and like hang out together and eat together. And it's very
cute. Die of sadness.
Yeah. It's crazy how it's like a mystical bond. Anyway, Marin, so we took
Marin's face, not buying not, it.
The notebook.
Not buying it.
It's literally it's the notebook, for bunnies.
The what?
The notebook.
They just hold one another.
Yeah.
Drift off into oblivion.
That's right. So we took
Ryan
him on these
Seacrest
dates.
Ryan Seacrest is, or not Seacrest? Ryan Seacrest. What?
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Seacrest. Yeah. So close. So anyway, we took him on these dates, and they were going okay. A couple of them, they didn't like dislike each other. A couple did not work out at all. Mm-hmm. And then like where they were actually like lunging at each other and stuff. And then we brought in Flip, who we're now going to be renaming Rue, because she looks like a little kangaroo. We brought them in, and the two of them just like connected. And
really?
And they were like cuddling with each
did
other.
Did time stand still?
Is that normal?
I mean, even
to
the,
like
the
love
the,
at first sight type thing.
It was literally like love at first sight for these two. Now there's still dates to go on. They're not bonded yet.
Yeah, they're just courting right now.
Right.
So
right,
you don't have Rue in like, she's not
we
living
do. She
with
lives
you yet.
In our spare bedroom. They're not together, yeah, but they can, they know that they exist, and they're sharing like the apartment, but they don't,
they're
they
not
don't
cohabitating.
Interact. No, they're not living together. So there's, yeah, anyway, so it's this whole process, but we're going to take them on dates, and eventually they'll figure out like what it's like to be together. One of them will probably be the dominant bun, and then eventually they'll just be bonded. And at that point, Rue will
inseparable.
Join. Yeah. And then maybe by the time, if we ever end up getting a house, maybe that house will be the house where they both live as a bonded pair.
So the goal isn't like mating.
No, they're
it's
both
just
fixed.
Friends.
Let's be totally clear. They're both fixed. So we're not having little buns coming at all. So it's like best friends. it's like married without kids.
Does that make you and Olivia sad that you're not his best friend anymore?
It does a little bit, but we're thinking it'll probably be great regardless, because yeah, they're still going to like to hang out with us. So they're not going to be like antisocial at that
point.
The
pictures you posted were incredible, like of them just nuzzling and just totally digging each other.
We were all like, what is happening? This is amazing. So
yeah,
it's pretty fun.
All right. So that's what's new with you.
Rabbits.
Marin?
It's 2019. I had to start with rabbits.
Yeah,
sorry.
Of course.
2019.
Marin,
welcome.
How's your year been?
And let us close the door on 2018.
Yes.
Never looking back.
Oh. 2019, how's it been? You're 7 days in.
I'm 7 days in. Oh boy, it's been frantic. It's been upside down. It's been crazy. It's been crazy. It's been absolutely crazy.
Why has it been crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Kids are back in school.
Mm-hmm. Kids are back in school as of today. Today is their first day back to school.
Are you happy about that, or is it like, I wish I had more time with them home?
Well, that's a loaded question, because
they're not going to listen to this, so you can say whatever you want.
I was gone for their Christmas break, like most of the time, and gone without them. My mom,
up in Chicago.
Yeah. She was in and out of the hospital. I was taking her to radiation appointments, and I went to Chicago without Jed and the kids. So I feel like I could use a whole nother week of just,
I feel like you
kind of
missed,
out
you got
them.
Gypped, you missed out on family time a little bit.
Yeah, I missed out on a whole lot of family time.
But. Well, you had approximately 72 straight hours with Jaden at Christmas Eve services. Wasn't that enough?
What, I mean,
we do
what
have to
more
talk about
could
that.
I want?
All right.
What more could I want? That was definitely, that was one of the brightest spots in my entire like 2018 year, you know? And I'm thinking that is going to carry me a long way into 2019 as well.
Doing the service with him?
Yeah, doing the service with my son. He had two little songs, or two songs that he had a little drum part in. He is the drummer boy.
Little drummer boy.
He really is.
He was front and center of the stage with his snare.
Here at the 146th Street campus,
yeah, with like light up sticks, like, it was amazing.
He's got some new tricks.
He does.
He was doing all this
I hadn't seen before. He was like twisting them.
Oh,
what is that the right? Is that what all the kids say in
all
band?
The kids are twisting.
They're just
the
twisting their sticks.
I had not seen them before. That's why I was blown away. So he did marching band for the first time this year. 2018 was very good to my son. He had a great year. He's over at Fisher's High School, and you know, just embarking on his first year of marching band. But he played the bass drum. So when Brad, the worship pastor here at the 146th Street campus, asked if Jaden would be the drummer boy and play on that song and said he got a marching snare for Jaden, I got to be honest, I was a little worried because my son is an accomplished drummer, but he plays kit, he plays hand percussion, he plays the bass drum. I've never seen him play a marching snare.
Yeah.
So, you know, I need to learn to not doubt my son as much as I do.
Don't doubt anybody that has basically unlimited access to YouTube.
Yeah. Well, and for him, he started on a practice pad at home when he was getting ready for this song. And, you know, just kind of banging it out. But then he started to just kind of toss his sticks around and whirl his sticks around. And I'm like, what are you even doing? Where did you learn that? Oh, just hanging out with my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of downtime, I guess, between and before and after, you know, shows or competitions or halftime shows he's doing now, all that stuff. Yeah. So he has just picked up like a wealth of new skill within this past year.
Aren't the snare guys like the bad boys of the marching band or something?
I'd say the whole percussion section.
Yeah, well, that's
they
true.
Are the bad boys.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I played
cool.
mellophone in the marching band.
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Yeah,
it's
mellophone.
Like a mellophone?
Yeah.
It's like a giant
it's Brad.
Trumpet.
It just sounds
looking,
sad. It
Well, based on my luck with the ladies, it was sad. So.
I play the sad phone.
Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy.
Yeah, he was amazing. And the highlight was, there's a line, obviously, in the song, I played my drum for him, par-up-a-pum-pum or whatever.
Very good,
and when he says, I played my drum for him, Jaden always like stuck his stick up in the air.
Yeah.
And I could tell what was going on in his mind, that he literally was looking at it as an act of worship, which I was like, you go, Jaden.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Oh, that makes me tear up just thinking about it. Cause we had to talk about this. I think he brought this conversation up where we talked about the difference between like peacocking and showing off and playing your best for him, you know?
Mm.
So if you're really like playing for the King of Kings, are you going to like hold back?
Like, right.
No, I'm not going to give you all that.
That's a good point.
Just enough, you know?
Yeah.
And so we did talk about from the heart how he can do this and play the way he did without feeling like, what? He's always been very afraid of boasting or showing off. And anyone who knows Jaden, you guys know Jaden, he does not go around talking about his accomplishments ever.
Twists his sticks and lets them speak for themselves.
He just played his best
for
the King of Kings. While mom, me, I wasn't on that song, which was another just super big blessing that I could stand in the room and take in every service where Jaden was playing. And I'm just holding my breath thinking, don't drop a stick. Don't drop your sticks. Whatever you do, don't drop a stick. So every service was just, every service was a ride. Wild ride. My mom was not well. She was supposed to come and see at least one of the services and stay with us over Christmas. But we got the news the Thursday of the big rehearsal for all the Christmas services that her cancer had spread to her brain. And I guess the doctor says there's too many tumors to even count. So she'd been having headaches and difficulty concentrating. She said she'd sit down to do the bills and numbers would just not make sense to her, where normally she can just rip through it. You know, she's doing that my whole life. So that was what kind of sent her in for an emergency MRI. And then we got the news really like an hour before that rehearsal started that it was now in her brain. So looking for God's mercy along this journey, 2018, end of 2018 was just bonkers. All of 2018 was bonkers, but.
And that's right on the heels. Last time we did a show, that's right on the heels of you having another family member who was in the hospital.
Still is in the hospital. Okay. Yeah. My aunt had a stroke and she still doesn't have the use of the left side of her body. She's totally paralyzed on the left side of her body. Mm. She's still in the hospital even as I speak. So life was already crazy enough. And then we got this, you know, bad news about my mom's health conditions and all that. But one of the mercies was that, you know, I go to all three campuses. Shout out to Fishers in North Indy. I'm in each campus once a month. And it just so happened that I was at our broadcast campus for Christmas.
Mm.
So my mom did not have to miss a beat. She didn't have to miss a note. She got to just watch that, you know, wherever she was. I just had this image of her being able to live stream the service and her grandson and all of that into the palm of her hand while she's laying in a hospital bed, like whatever needed to happen, you know, God's grace and his mercy has been evident throughout the entire thing. So just this past weekend, I stayed with her overnight in the hospital. She was there for two nights. I stayed with her Friday into Saturday, Saturday into Sunday. And I'm happy to report she's doing a lot better. She wasn't able to keep food down for a couple days in a row. Radiation's been super hard on her. But they put her back on the steroids that kind of helped control all of those bad symptoms. And now she's doing a lot better. So 2019 is going to be day by day.
Wow. Yeah.
Just day by day. I will be thankful for the good days. I will fight my way through the bad days, but I'm ready.
How often do you plan to go back and forth?
Day by day. It's not even something I can plan at this point. But again, just trusting God and being so thankful for the way he has already provided. For instance, I cannot tell you the last time as a worship leader, I had two Sundays off in a row. I don't know that.
Yeah,
that happened.
That's interesting.
I don't know that that happened in all of 2018. And it just so happened. Again, if I'm at each campus once a month, then theoretically that means three weekends out of the month.
Yeah.
I'm working, you know? So I asked, you know, as we were doing a scheduling meeting, I asked, hey, could I get the first weekend of January off and then I'll work the following three weekends because my family's going to do a belated Christmas that first weekend in January.
Yeah.
So that was already like set at the beginning of December, like my schedule was set.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that she got sick and was admitted in the time
that you were gonna
that I was actually there. Like even that is a mercy that I was able to be there, that God saw that before it happened. He knew what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. Mm. And again, his grace is sufficient. And he's just been, he's been showing his presence, making himself known at every turn of this crazy saga.
Mm. Man, well, keep us updated because we've grown to love your mama. And every time you go there, I enjoy hearing updates from you. One of the updates I don't enjoy hearing from you when you go to Chicago is that you find this chocolate Cool Whip,
yes!
Ready Whip stuff that apparently is only sold in Chicago, and you send me a picture of it every single time.
Whoa.
And I'm like, bring me a can of that chocolate Ready Whip.
Well,
and
my friend, I
alas,
did.
Here
I
we
did.
Are.
No, I forgot to bring it today.
I did.
I reserved a can just for you.
Great.
Chocolate.
2019 is going
to
be great.
Chocolate Ready Whip. Well, Hershey's is trying to break in on this game. So if you go to Walmart or Kroger, they're
not
starting
to find it.
They're starting to sell a Hershey's like Ready Whip, but it's not Ready Whip. It's a Hershey's.
So it's
brand.
Only sold in Chicago?
Ready Whip, chocolate Ready Whip. I have not found it anywhere here in Central Indiana.
I can't even find it online.
I know.
I went online to just buy like a case of it to be like, Marin, I got my own, but I couldn't find it.
I guess my question is why. Is that such a big deal to you? Like, why do you need it so badly?
Because he hasn't had it.
I haven't had it. It sounds great. And it's exclusive.
Yes. Okay. Yes. All three of those
the
things.
The triple threat. That's
it's
what you
It's waiting
know.
In my refrigerator. I will bring it to you.
All right.
It'll change
Hands
your
off,
life.
Jed.
It'll change your life. I put it in my coffee.
Oh, yeah.
It's
that sounds
brilliant.
Great.
It's brilliant.
All right. I'll have to give it a shot.
I have to say, we live streamed the services while... Man, I love live streaming. I'm so grateful that we're able to do that. So my mom is laid up in a hospital room and she's taken in church. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Amy Christie was hosting here at the 146 campus.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy gets, I didn't tell you this, he knows this, but Amy gets on the stage and my mom goes, "Ooh, Amy got a new sweater." And I told Amy that and she started cracking up. She's like, "It was a new sweater. I got it
no
for
way.
Christmas." How did your mom
Amy's
got
to get a wardrobe update. She wears the same sweater too often.
All that to say, my mom loves us as much as we love her.
Yeah.
And
like literally, if you guys got new clothing, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, seriously. I'm wearing a new
and
shirt
I see
right
you,
now. Thanks
I
for
see
noticing.
I see you all the time. I mean, I guess I haven't seen you in that shirt before, but new?
This is Jed's. This is Jed's.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing that she noticed that.
She
that's so
loves
cool.
us.
What about you, Tyler? What's new?
All right. So this is the first Christmas that Milo... was old enough to like pay attention.
Yeah.
Because last Christmas, he was just like laying around. He was a baby. This year, 18 months old.
He's
perfect,
a boy.
Perfect age to like open his own presents and just get really excited, which I don't know. I always heard that's the best as a parent to watch your kids be really happy and excited. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. But I like my own excitement, right? but it really is the best. So he wakes up and he opens all his gifts and he... there could be nothing in there. He just likes unwrapping things, right? But so it was a good Christmas, and he got all the like toys that I'm starting to get into now. Like he got like an actual tricycle.
Board games?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. What would baby's first board game be?
I already know what it's going to be.
I already know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I do. I forget what it's called, but I know what it is, and it costs $32. Lauren said he'd like it at this age. And I was waiting for him to turn like two or three, but if he's in on this age, I'm going to get it. It's basically you stack wooden block animals on each other and try not to knock them over. That's the game. But anyways, he has like the cool toys now. He's got a motorized motorcycle.
Oh, yes. That matches his cousin Will's motorcycle.
Yes. His cousin has the same identical one.
That plays Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style on it at like extreme volume. Yeah, you can't turn it down. He hits that button and he starts dancing. He loves it. But I'm realizing he's like, a real human now.
Yeah.
Because, and he's like, he's moved into a new phase of life because just in the last, I don't know, Christmas break, New Year's recency timetable, he has done things like grown an affinity to headbutt things. Oh, I've told Marin this three times now today, but he just thinks it's hilarious to walk up to like the dog and just headbutt the dog or
poor Judy.
Yeah. Or like the couch. He'll sit on the armrest of the couch and just like throw himself off to the other side.
Yeah.
Just tumbling everywhere. And, this morning he wakes up and he's headbutting like the pillow on the bed. And, I'm still laying in the bed and he looks at me square in the eyes. And he throws his head right into my mouth, like headbutts me right in the teeth. And he keeps doing it. He thinks it's hilarious.
So he wasn't hurt by it?
That's what I thought. I was like, buddy, this is going to hurt. He just thinks it's hilarious to just headbutt. And so I've got this big fat lip now. And my wife texted me like 20 minutes ago saying that she was doing some cleaning. She was like wiping down some of the walls and counters and stuff. And she said he was following her, licking the walls.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I'm telling you, like, that was Desi. That was not Jaden, but that was Desi. She would just...
lick the walls?
She was prone to, like, goose eggs of all kinds because she was constantly throwing her head into things. She was... Yeah.
I don't know how I... I need a helmet or something.
For yourself?
For myself.
For him.
Yeah, for myself. Because I don't know if I'm ready for the, like, let's hurt Dada phase of life that he's entering into.
Well, and we've already talked about like how your teeth have been through so much already.
Yeah.
Like he needs to...
I've got a mouth full of expensive teeth and I can't have him knocking them out. That's for sure.
Well, the thing that's blowing me away is the fact that he's now getting into language and he's starting to like use words and...
He's totally bossing the dog around
at
this point.
His pronunciation's not great.
No,
he could work with him on that.
He could not host a podcast, that's for sure.
He would just say Nene the entire time.
He's super into horses. He calls them Nene's. Where we were right after Christmas was Tennessee, and there's like farmlands from here to Kingdom Come in Tennessee where we stayed. And every time we would drive, we would have to drive past chickens or goats or cows or horses. And every time we got in the car, he wanted to see bok boks, which are chickens, or he wanted to see baas, which are sheep or goats, and he wanted to see moos, which are cows. He doesn't say the thing, even though cow is just as easy to say as moo. He wants to see the bok boks and the nay-nays and the moos. Yeah, so...
That's fun.
That's where we are. That's where we are in 2019.
I can't even believe where he will be Christmas of 2019. Like, we're talking about his language in January, but you are going to have like an explosive year of growth and awesomeness.
Yeah. 2019, I'll be like, I didn't want this for Christmas.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Don't start that already. But yeah, it's the year of the helmet. That's for sure. I gotta get a plan together.
Is that your resolution to like get a helmet and wear it?
Uh-oh. I almost forgot. Let's talk about resolutions. All right. So last year.
New year, new you.
Yeah, that's right. Last year, we all... declared we had some resolutions for 2018. Let's go one by one. I'll start and
talk about how
say
we
what it is and say how we're doing.
Okay.
Mine was to get out of debt.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'm happy to report. Well, I'm sad to report it didn't happen in 2018. I'm happy to report that by the end of this month, it will be done.
Oh, hey, wow.
Nice.
Nailed Congrats. It.
Well done.
Well done. That's
Bravo.
That's a real accomplishment. Yeah, yeah, well done.
It all happened because of my wife.
Yeah.
She took over the finances in like July or something. And ever since then we've been cruising. But
awesome.
From January to July last year, we were disaster. So that's us.
Hey,
Maren,
well done.
You go next.
I think my New Year's resolution was to drink more water. Because I always set
drink
the bar,
more water.
I always set the bar real high
yeah.
when it comes to
go?
Resolutions. Not great.
No?
Let's just say not great. No. No.
So you didn't drink more water than 2017.
I don't think I did.
That would have been a really easy one to
no,
accomplish.
No, it's so not. It's not. Like, so today I took, okay, I'll back up. I got a new water bottle this weekend.
It's a start.
We had our family Christmas, although sadly we had to have it without my mom and without my dad, but we had our family Christmas, and our family Christmas always has the most cutthroat game of like white elephant.
Uh-huh.
It is a cutthroat game.
Oh no.
A couple years ago, my sister stole a gift from Desiree, who was probably 6 at the time. And Desi just bursts into tears. And my sister said, if you're going to cry, you're not old enough to play this game. Like, we are super cutthroat. So my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, opened a gift that had a big water bottle in it. And it's my color. It's teal. He even looked at me as he held the water bottle up and said, no one loves this color more than you do. But it was his gift. So I knew a couple turns later, that's the gift I'm stealing. I'm stealing that gift. So I did bring a new water bottle into my life. And it's awesome. I had just broken my water bottle from last year, which was also teal. Dropped it in the parking lot on my way into the YMCA.
That you didn't use.
I used it when I worked out.
Okay.
But if I was not working out, it did not get used.
All right. So what are we doing this year?
So this water bottle, I told myself, okay, I'm going to walk to the printer from my office on the mezzanine to the printer. And I'm going to take like at least 2 drinks, like between here and there. Do you think I did it? No,
Why?
I just can't bring
Come
myself
on.
To drink the water.
Is there ice in it? Because that helps me.
No.
If you put ice in it, you drink a lot faster.
It's just, I think it's just so boring. Maybe I need one of those infuser things, but then I'd have to have the forethought to like get the fruit ahead of time.
Cut up fresh citrus.
Let
the strawberries steep. Like,
no, you don't want to do that.
So much work involved.
I can drink coffee
all day. I could drink green tea, no problem, but I don't know what it is. Me and water have never had a great relationship. So this year's New Year's resolution can't be that, because clearly that was a failure. I think I'm going to drop a few pounds.
Yeah?
I think that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Just get strong. That's what I want.
All right.
Yep. We'll see if I'm super like buff by the end of this year.
For sure.
So
it's you want to get strong.
Just strong. Yeah. Healthy. Strong and healthy.
All right. Barry, what do you got?
So 2018, my resolution was, I think I said on the pod, I was going to get a 6-pack.
That is what you said, yes.
6-pack abs. So happy to report I got 1/6 of the way there.
Hey, nailed it.
Progress.
Yeah.
Still got 5/6 to go.
That's a ways away.
So I don't know if I'm going to do that one again. I also didn't really try very hard to get that. So let's go for 6-pack abs. 2019.
Yeah? You're doing it again?
No, it's not going to happen. I don't know. I'm really discouraged after 2018. Oh. Drink more water.
Yes, perfect.
Maren's
got a water bottle waiting for you. So when we go to Ohio over New Year's, and New Year's morning or New Year's Eve morning, we kind of all sit around with Lauren's family and cousins, and we talk about this. We talk about what we say we were going to do. And Lauren's mom takes copious notes at this meeting every year. And she writes down exactly what every person says. And so if you said last year, I'm drinking more water, she would have recited that at this year's meeting.
Oh, wow.
And then looked at you and, you know, what's your report? And
yeah. Would she look at me with shame? Like,
because disgust. Everybody in the room is a big fat no. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Everybody. There are people in the room who are like, I'm going to run 5 5Ks. And it's like, how many did you run? 0. Okay. Well, what are you going to do this year? 5 5K. He just like, keep it on the list. So you could do 6-pack again.
I actually do have a serious, I'm going to journal more this year. I've already begun.
Good one.
Journaling is something that I used to do very consistently. I filled journal after journal after journal. And then somehow like literally around the time that I came to work at Grace, when I wasn't traveling all the time, I, for some reason, I felt like my life was more interesting then. And so it's kind of has been falling off. So I'm going to get back into it, try to do it most mornings.
Yeah.
And, so far, so good. We are
all right.
8 days in and
nailed it.
It's been good. So
good. Mine is I want to do 2 date nights a month. So I've never been known as, like, believe it or not, I'm not been known as, yeah, I'm not Mr. Romantic. Ever since Milo's come around, it's like not been a super high priority for either one of us to mm-hmm. prioritize that time. And so this year I want to do that twice a month, at least her and I get a babysitter. We've got, and that's the best part is that we've got tons of family here and friends mm-hmm. who would watch Milo at low cost for free.
Yeah. For low
children of friends, because Desi is still desperate to babysit Milo.
Yeah, it's her bucket list item. Yeah. So
they could just bang their heads into things together.
Oh my goodness.
She's still into that? I don't know. Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. That's what I want to do this
I think
year.
I might have to steal your resolution, because that's a very
good one. That's a good one, right?
That's a very well thought out.
And it benefits everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But you just, again, you have to have the forethought to put it on the calendar.
Yes.
Because that's the thing.
That's
like,
what I'm
if
doing.
We didn't
I'm scheduling
put it, on
it
the
in
calendar,
the calendar.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
All right. Cool. Well, let's get to it, man, because we've missed a couple sermons. We didn't get to talk about Christmas Eve. Tim Ayers spoke last week, and I'm really bummed that we didn't get a show last week with him.
Yeah.
So let's get to the sermon this week. Barry, we entered into a new sermon series called Home Free.
Yep.
And you're doing it.
The whole
you're
thing.
Doing
Four
everything.
Weeks in a row.
Yeah. Every week. This is the first time you've ever done it. How do you feel after week one?
I'm riding high after week one.
Yeah.
The first one's easy. Second one's hard. I don't know what the third one will be. I've never done 3 in a row. So.
Okay. So two is your limit. You've gone back to back.
And I've done some where I've had like only like a week or two off between. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It'll be.
So next week's show, you might be like, get me out of here.
Guys, I'm so sorry. I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Because, I mean, it's mostly just finding the time to actually write it. Because I've done all the exegetical work for all 4 weeks and all the mm-hmm. background stuff already. Like, I was doing that November. I was starting to think ahead. But, it was really fun. And the response to this one was really, really positive.
Good.
People seemed to, probably because I was, you know, showing them their sin and...
Yep.
Everyone always loves that. Yeah. So
real mm-hmm. positive.
Yeah.
That wasn't a downer at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. So can you kind of give, first of all, I want a 10,000 foot view of what this sermon series is supposed to do or what we are trying to communicate through the whole series. And then can you kind of do a 5,000 foot view of what your big idea was?
Sure. Okay. I can do that. 10,000.
You said start at 10
first.
10 first.
We're descending.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're falling.
As we begin our approach.
Yeah.
So the whole series, honestly, I haven't really talked much about this with folks, but in my mind, what this is really about is the fact that so many of us, Grace people, Christ followers who live here, if we are completely honest, our lives don't look all that different from the lives of people around us in this culture who don't know Jesus. Now, there's plenty of exceptions, but just on the whole, we don't stand out as much as we might think we could or should.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I want to go to Romans 8 and talk about the life of freedom that we can live as followers of Christ in the hopes that maybe we can actually begin taking some steps as individuals to actually start going in that direction. So, for example, in Romans 8, it talks about freedom from sin, which we'll talk about today, like freedom from the fear of death and decay. Mm. That's what we're talking about this next weekend. I mean, that's something that we, in this culture, we're all just terrified of death and we just don't talk about it much. And so, and then freedom from shame. Shame is a huge issue in our culture, and hateful self-talk and all that seems to be growing epidemic proportions. And again, we in the church, are we really all that different from those who don't know Jesus? And then, freedom from self-sufficiency. We're Americans. We get it done. We do it our way. You know, is it possible for us to begin living in a deeper level of surrender where we don't try to fix our own problems, but we actually rely on God in a more deep way? So for me, it's like, let's talk about these things and let's ask the question of, what would it actually look like if we were free? What could our lives actually be? If that was true of us. So So that's the 10,000 foot view. Getting down into this particular sermon.
Are we staying in Romans 8 the whole time?
Yep. Four weeks in Romans 8. And in case you missed it, I also kind of did an introductory sermon about some of the ideas from Romans 8 when I talked about adoption, if you remember, with little Peter, that whole story, that was also from Romans 8. And that was,
we showed up to the pod and you and Marin were geeking out about Romans 8.
Yeah.
So I've been waiting for this for weeks.
Yeah. So this particular sermon, since it's all about, it's opening up Paul's argument and his description of what has now happened through Christ. And so I had to get into the, what does it mean for us to no longer be under the power of sin? Like, what does that mean? What, and then for that matter, what is sin? And so I spent a good part of the sermon simply just trying to kind of redefine what sin is, because when we think of it as just a list of God rules, then you're not really under the power of a list, you know?
Yeah.
So how can you be enslaved by something? How can you be under the power of something? And what is that? What is sin, for that matter? And
I'm glad you started by asking that question, because I can't say that I've ever tried to define it, because I've always just assumed it's like bad stuff.
Bad stuff.
Bad stuff.
Yeah.
And in my like weird imagination, I'm like, is it possible for me to like live in the woods and never do bad stuff?
Right.
But the way you define it is like, well, that has nothing to do with bad stuff necessarily.
Right. What it comes down to, the way I described it, is that God created this world and created humanity with the intention that we would thrive, that we would live in self-giving love, that we would care for each other, we would care for the earth, we would care for, we would live in this, I referenced it as shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace, which I described as an all-encompassing reality filled to the brim with God's good design. That's what he intended for us to thrive and to live in the freedom of that. And sin, I define as anything less than shalom, anything less than God's intentions for this world is sin. I wish there was another word, because when we think sin, we still think like bad stuff that you do that's against the rules. But really, like, isolation is sin in a sense, because if you isolate yourself, because that's not what God intended for you. Hateful self-talk, I made that little aside about it. That's sin, because you're not believing who God says you are, and you're not living into the fullness of your true identity. And so
you said it's sin because it poisons the life God wants for
it
you.
It steals. And I used a bunch of different analogies to try to help people think about it. One of them is something that Martin Luther, the theologian, he described it as a person curved in on themselves. And I talked about how sin is fundamentally selfish. It's something that it's us trying to be our own gods and saying, we know what's best. We know what's best for us. So we're going to do our own thing. That's sinful. And so, yes, that it includes murder, it includes adultery, it includes all the things that we think of as like sin, but it's not because they're against the rules. It's because those are less than what God intends for us. And they're actually rebellion against what God has in mind for us. So that's kind of where I went with it. And basically in the message, then I talk about the fact that, okay, if that's the case, then how do we live in freedom? If sin has so much power because it's this addicting, self-focused way of living, how do we break free from that? And that's where I talked about the fact that through Christ, the power of sin was broken, because he did what the law of Moses, which gave these regulations, we can get into that later if you want, that he did what the law could not do. He actually lived that perfect life. And then his innocent blood was the blood that was spilled to cover over our non-innocent blood, and that unlocked for us the possibility through his resurrection of actually having a new life and having the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, replace the sinful, selfish core of our nature and allowing us to live a life that looks like what God had in mind. And then I ended with talking about, okay, so if that's the case, then why do we still sin? If we're no longer under the power of sin, then why do we still sin? And essentially, I talked about the fact that even though the jail door has been swung wide open, we still have to make a choice. We still have to walk out of that door. And so, because the reality is we constantly are tempted to put the chains back on ourselves, because selfishness is just a part of who we are as long as we're living in this reality.
Yeah.
So I gave three suggestions at the end, which we can talk about, but I basically said, if you aren't surrendered to Jesus Christ, that's the first step you got to take to experience freedom.
Cause you can't do it on your own.
You can't do it on your own. And number two is like, ask the Holy Spirit to show you your sin, because I said in the sermon, it's so easy to just look at a list of rules and be like, well, I haven't murdered anybody, so I guess I'm fine. But the Spirit will show you ways in which your selfishness and your self-focus is actually stealing that life that you were meant to have. And then the third thing is ask God for help, because nobody is intelligent enough or creative enough or has enough willpower or any of that to be able to break free of sin on their own. You have to rely on the Spirit to help you. So that was essentially the whole sermon, right? In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Just trying to get people to think differently about the fact that God has a really good intention, a good life in mind for us. It's what he desires for us. It's why he sent his son to allow us to live. And so if we are followers of Jesus, our lives should start to look a little bit more shalom-y. Mm. Like, we should look a little bit more like this holistic sense of self-giving love and beauty and care, and less like we are the masters of our own universe.
Right. And if we were honest, if there is no one perfect, then who among us doesn't have something they could be working on?
Right.
You know, except for Tyler, of course.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
I'm good.
When you said the thing about the negative self-talk, that was actually from Olivia. She brought that up.
Yeah.
That reminded me of my sister in North Carolina. She's wonderful. I just love her. She's a worship leader. She loves the Lord. But she had a revelation a couple of years ago that she always thought that she was shy. And she is a relatively shy person and kind of would be a little standoffish, maybe not let people in.
Yeah.
But she had a revelation that her shyness, really, when it boiled down to it, was a form of selfishness, because she was concerned about what people would think about her.
Right.
And it did all kind of point back at her and thinking about herself. And so for her to learn this self-giving love we talk about all the time required a revelation of, you know, not that being shy is a bad thing. She wasn't saying, again, it wasn't about a list of do's and don'ts. It was about living a life that wasn't maybe everything that God had intended, that he wanted her to kind of break through this defense that she called shyness.
Right.
And he wanted her to be able to break through that. So I think the way that you have defined sin in this case is going to help a lot of people reach a breakthrough.
I hope so. Because the thing is, I mean, when you think about sin, that's like, wah, wah, I don't want to talk about that. It sounds boring and prudish.
That's fun.
It's, yes, not really fun. And, but like, I mean, Maybe this came across, maybe not, but the way I look at it, for us to have an actual conversation about sin, you start with talking about the love of God. Mm. Like, that's how the conversation starts. Most of the time, growing up, maybe, I always heard the message of sin that started with a God of wrath, you know, and it began with God is mad at you. So let's talk about why and how you can make him not mad at you anymore. But what I was trying to do is to show people, actually, the conversation starts with God is crazy about you. He loves you so deeply. So how can you actually live as if that was real? You know, so that's, it's a whole different way of approaching that.
Do you think that, all right, so we're a church that has started saying, we believe that everybody, God has something more for everybody, something beyond their wildest dreams. You have a calling, you have a destiny that God has waiting for you, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that if we're not living into that, that we're sinning?
If we're not living into our destiny?
If we're not.
Yeah. If we're not realizing the more that we were made for. Somebody asked that on Facebook Live.
I would say my answer to that would be no. Because it's only after you are enlightened to the truth that you have an option to choose it or to reject it. So if you don't know what your destiny is, let's dig in. Let's get there together. Let's support one another and bring each other to that place. If I do know what my destiny is, but I'm being Jonah and I'm running away from it, I'd call that sin.
Mm. Right. If that's a good distinction, because the problem with the word sin is it has so many, like, the word itself has so much connotations in our language of, like, evil and bad.
Yeah.
And like, so the way that the question is worded sounds like, are you an evil person if you're not living into your destiny? Right. I think you're right, Maren. I don't think that's the case, but it is sin. If the Spirit has been nudging you mm-hmm. to care for vulnerable children or something like that. And you're saying, no, I'd rather go and do something else because I'm too scared, or I don't trust you, or I don't believe that that's mm-hmm. actually what I'm for. You know, that yeah. perhaps then would be falling under the definition of it.
And you were clear that this isn't, sin is not like a misdemeanor or what do you say? Like a traffic ticket.
Holy traffic yeah. ticket. Yeah.
But it like has a mind of its own and yeah. it has power that we cannot solve or handle on our own. Right.
Yeah. So
that got me thinking about people, whether they would say that they're Christians or not, who have told me or would say something to the effect of, if I were to say, yeah, but what you're doing or what you're thinking is, that's just, as you put it, Barry, a cheap high, right? Yeah. It's a cheap right. short-term mm-hmm. high. Their response might be, yeah, but that I'm fine with that. Mm. Because what you're saying now sounds like does sound like a list of rules. If you want me to believe the things you want to believe, like, mm-hmm. My life's good the way it is. You go focus on the harmony that God's created sure. you for or us for. And I'm cool with the cheap high. Because it sounds like a list of rules. And then once you started talking about the law, this is kind of what answered my question, is that you said, the law was almost like a spotlight to mm-hmm. reveal how far away the Israelites were away from God, rather than giving them a list of rules to abide by. It was right. like, here's how you can't live up to these rules.
Right. And that's what Paul argues. If you look yes. at, yeah, if you look at Romans like this, I had to kind of figure out, how am I going to try to explain all this? But, I'm trying to find
Romans 7.
Yes. Yes. Romans 7, God's law reveals our sin. Sorry, I interrupted you, but yeah, that's what Paul's arguing.
Well, yeah, he says in Romans 7:9, for I would not have known what coveting, sin, I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what I mean. Like, you have to have the truth in order to know what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
And that's the law was illuminating the truth.
Yeah.
Right. The way he puts it in verse 11, sin took advantage of these commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. So it's like, yeah, that, which, man, this, I wish, maybe I'll get into it a little more on Thursday, but this would have been so scandalous for him to say to law abiding Israelites living in Rome. Hmm. They would have been shocked by this. And yet this is part of what his good news is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. My mom said something funny when we were live streaming your sermon. I was just kind of busy about the hospital room and she's lying in bed and she's like, did he say Romans 7? I said, no, Romans 8. And she goes, oh good. 8 is better than 7. Like, what are you talking about? I laughed. And she said, because 8 gives us the answer.
Yeah.
Chapter seven leaves us with, oh, wretched man that I am. I want to do good, but I can't do the things I even want to do.
Right.
You know, it really describes
who will free me from this life?
Yes.
Dominated by sin and death.
That's what she meant. Oh, 8 is better than 7 because 8 gives us the hope and the answer, where 7 kind of describes the condition of man's heart. Like, man, we really want to do the right thing, but we're just so weak in and of ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 8, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people I know who I've had similar discussions with that would be like, I'm good with the life I'm living. I don't need what you say I need in terms of like believing in Jesus. I feel like they look at the Bible like the law was created for the Israelites. If that makes sense. Like,
these are all just a bunch of old dusty laws for some people.
Yeah, the Bible people. Just exists to make me feel bad about the things I'm doing.
Right. A bunch of fun stuff that this grumpy God doesn't like.
Yeah. And so our job is what? How do we compel people who may not see the cheap high for what it is? How do we compel them that God does have something more for them?
We start living shalom in our lives, we start living the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
If just imagine if we were as the church, let's just say Grace Church, if we were a community full of people who actually loved each other with self-giving love, who actually like shared what they had with one another, who cared for the poor and the marginalized, and who lived, used their spiritual gifts, the Spirit within them to bring healing and life and mm-hmm. hope everywhere they went, and there was joy and there was humility. Like if that was actually who we were, and that
That'd
was the kind
compelling.
Of society, I mean, yeah, that's what people want. And yes, I know the cheap high, so to speak, the I'm fine with,
yeah.
Well, use greed as an example. Like, yeah, it may seem really great to just make a ton of money and be greedy with it and just constantly look for more money. Cause like I could buy whatever I want. It's great. You know, so greed on its face, you could actually argue, I mean, we're Americans. It's like one of those vices that we seem to be fine with in this country, but like you can paint greed as a positive thing. But if you actually hold that up against someone who's living with an open palmed mentality, who is completely overflowing with generosity, which one of those is like the sugar cube? And which one of those is the 6-course meal? Like it's the generosity and the openness and the willingness to share. That's what actually brings true life. The greed and the covetousness, like all of that, that's going to leave you hollow. And when you die, none of it comes with you. You know, it's like, it's what, which life really, really fills you, which life actually feeds you. And it's, I would say it's the life that God intended for us to live. That's the one that actually fulfills you.
Yeah. I was thinking about something similar to that in the ER, like it's Chicago and it's Chicago ER and it's downtown.
Is that a show?
Something like that. There's Chicago everything now, but it was every person from every walk of life.
Yeah.
Money, no money, wealthy, destitute. I mean, they're all at their lowest because they all need emergency care. Now, would I rather walk in there knowing I have a ton of money in a bank somewhere? Or would I rather walk in there knowing that, hey, whatever happens, I have somebody who is, quote, in the boat with me, as we talked a couple months ago, somebody who is walking with me through this dark time, the hope of what is on the other side of this, even should the worst thing happen, you know, what? Where does my hope come from? Right. He is my hope. My hope is not in material things or earthly things or, you know, so it's, you're right. Like we can paint anything as good, I think, if we try hard enough, but is it really good?
Right.
You know?
Right. One of the things I was thinking about, I'm surprised it hasn't come up yet, in my conversations, but you know, in the high school when, or middle school nowadays, when in like youth group or whatever, when the talk about sex comes up, what's the one question?
Family friendly show, Barry.
Family friendly. I know, but just,
are we even allowed to say that on this show?
What's the one question that every, especially Christian boy asks? Tyler, you know the answer.
How far is too far?
How far is too far? I was thinking about
Why do you think I know?
I super didn't know. That's
you didn't
hilarious
know?
That he just right there.
I mean,
guys,
it's okay. Why do we ask that question in particular?
Because we want to know how far we can push it.
Right. Because there is a, we think of it as there being a, there's a line out there.
Yeah.
That behind that line is sin, and on this side of the line, it's fine. So we want to know exactly where that line is so we can get just as close to sin without having to actually have it count as sin. But if we're looking at it in this kind of different framework, it's completely the opposite. It's not how far is too far. It's like, how far, what's the best way to bring actual life and healing and hope into this moment, into this experience? And like, guarantee it's probably not the same answer, you know, I don't know. I just was thinking about that. Cause that's the way we treat most sin. When we think of it as
how
a list
close
of rules,
can we get to it without breaking any rules?
Right. How greedy can I be before it's actually greed?
Yeah.
Like how much can I want money before I actually am greedy?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a different way of looking at it to not think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just thought of that.
You said about freedom. You said that, you were talking about, we might be asking the question like, well, if that's all true, why am I still sinning? Yeah. I've surrendered my life. I've given myself over to the Holy Spirit. So why am I still sinning? And you spoke about this a couple of minutes ago. You said, the prison door is open,
right?
But we have to choose to be free.
Yeah.
My question is this something that we have to do over and over again? Is choosing freedom like a daily thing, or is it like, I'm choosing it, so I'm good.
So the short answer is yes, it's a daily thing. It's an ongoing choice. The longer answer is I believe that there is a way, there's a pattern that gets set like in our spirit, in our heart, where the more we choose, consistently choose freedom, the more our desires begin to be shifted.
Yeah.
The more we actually start to want the things of the kingdom, the things of God's life, than we do desire the things of a selfish life. So I, like, it sounds super depressing to think I'm going to have to fight this my entire life.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the core of my question. Cause I'm like, if I choose freedom and I've surrendered my life, but I still sometimes fall victim to the patterns or whatever that have consumed me maybe in the past.
Yeah.
Am I truly free?
Oh, you're actually asking. Sorry, yeah. I thought you were going to continue with that question.
No, am I actually free if I have to keep worrying, or not worrying, but keep like struggling with overcoming this thing that I initially chose and want?
Yeah. So the way I look at it, this is personally, and I would be interested to hear what you think, Maren, but I look at it this way. It's a matter of perspective of who you are. So let's say, I don't know, what's a relatively innocuous sin that we would
murder.
Okay. If you've got a problem murdering people, right? No, this isn't going to work because it's too intense. I don't know.
Lord, yeah. Let's say
you have a problem with gossip.
Yeah.
It's so tasty to just share that idea, that thing that you've heard about so-and-so, who, let's make up a name, like, Samantha, man, you've got the juiciest thing about Samantha. So you want to share it with somebody. So if you are free from the power of sin, if you follow Christ, the truth of your identity in God's eyes is that you are not a gossip. Mm-hmm. That's not who you are, right? In God's eyes, in your redeemed self, you are someone who lives in self-giving love. And someone who lives in self-giving love doesn't gossip. However, as you are living into that and becoming that person, becoming who you are, there may be moments where you choose to take the action of going back and gossiping. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The problem comes.
People got to know, man.
Samantha's been up to some crazy stuff. Yeah. But what happens is, it depends on when you make that mistake and you're like, oh, I did it again. I talked trash about Samantha. If that happens, and then that stays your identity because that's who I am. I'm the person, I'm a gossip. Then you aren't living in freedom. However, if your identity is, but that's not who I am. That's not who I am. I want to become who I am. That's when you begin the process of healing, where that mistake was, I did mess up and I want forgiveness. I want to move on. I want a healing from that, but that's not who I am. It's the difference between guilt and shame language, right? Guilt is I made a mistake, but it's not who I am. Shame, that's just who I am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, and at least even in the things that I've struggled with over my life, it has been really important for me to not so much avoid who I used to be, but become who I already am in God's eyes. It's about choosing to continue becoming more and more like Jesus, who showed us what shalom looks like, right? It's becoming more and more like him. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I slide back. But it's in those moments, especially when I make them, when I mess up, it's saying, but that's not who I am. And I want to be healed. I want to be new. I want to be a different person. And it's becoming that person. So it is a journey, but it's a journey that if I believe we're allowing the Spirit to work on us and change us and grow us, it's a journey that leads to a place of healing. It's not us just like trying to constantly get up a muddy hill and sliding back to the bottom every time.
Yeah, it sounds like it's more of an idea of like following or like responding. If you're truly trying to, if your goal or your identity is to pursue the life God has for you, then you are responding to that rather than trying to grind it out and fix whatever thing you have even fallen back into. You know what I mean? Right. It seems like you're responding to, I guess you call it the power of the Spirit.
Yeah. It's sanctification. It's a real fancy theological word for it, but it's the idea that you are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Like you are becoming more like him. It is a process, but Mm-hmm. It's something that we can begin, we can continue to make progress on as we grow in our faith, as we have experiences, and as we trust, continually trust that we are who God says we are, and not by the lie of the evil one that, oh, you're just a gossip. Like, that's just who you are. So why not just keep gossiping?
Yeah.
Oh, you're addicted to porn. You might as well just keep looking at porn, because what's the point of trying? You know, it's like,
yeah,
those are the lies that keep us locked in to the slavery and not living in the freedom as children of God.
It's, I think your question was, is it a daily thing?
Yeah.
Is it, and the scripture tells us that it is. We like the NLT here at Grace Church. So I'll read from the
New King James.
Where is it?
Oh. You're too late. New King James. Yes. Yeah. The NLT puts it this way. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So we use the phrase,
go ahead, New King James.
Again, NLT. We use the phrase self-giving love like it's going out of style. Like, we use that phrase all the time.
Just me.
I have never heard that phrase until I came here.
Oh, no, it literally is just me. It's like, I'm trying to get like...
Self-giving love. I'd never heard that till I came here. I would hear self-sacrificing love.
Yeah. Self-care.
That's different. That's,
self-sacrificing love.
Self-sacrificing love, sure. Like, the cross is a symbol of sacrifice, and it's not pleasant.
No.
When I have that juicy tidbit of gossip that would be so satisfying to share, satisfying on like a carnal level, like taking up my cross and keeping my mouth shut, no one is saying that that is fun.
Right.
It is an act of submission, self-sacrificing love to not share that. And there's something liberating and freeing when you aren't bound to that thing you just really, really want to do, to that itch you just really, really have to scratch. There's something so liberating when you're not bound to that, but it is daily.
Right.
Daily, like, sinful things are an option for me, and I have to make a choice to do this or to not do this.
Yeah.
And I don't have a perfect track record.
Right.
I sometimes give in and I scratch that itch and then I feel bad about it. The good news is that his mercies are new every morning.
That's right.
And it doesn't give me license to just keep living however I want, but at least it keeps me from totally beating myself up to the point where, you know, I just give up and throw in the towel entirely. His mercies are new every morning and he forgives. And he is changing me into the likeness of his son, which again does not come without a great deal of self-sacrifice.
Right. And what I believe is absolutely true is that when we make the choice, when you make the choice not to gossip, not to give into that really satisfying itch, and instead make a choice that's, let's say, the opposite. Let's say instead of gossiping about Samantha, you text her a compliment about Samantha. I don't know.
Samantha.
Instead of gossiping about her, you say, you know what? No, this is a problem for me. I want to be more like Christ. So you instead, you text Samantha, hey, you did a great job on the whatever last week.
Yeah.
Like, that is another step. But what happens is you do that enough times and you respond to your itch in that way enough times. And eventually the itch loses its savor. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even want to go back to gossiping because it's like, man, why would I want to tear someone down when I'm starting to taste what it's like to build others up? I don't know.
And so how radical is that?
Yeah.
Like, how different would that make us? If we just satisfy whatever whim comes our way, whatever itch we have, what makes us different from anybody else around us?
Exactly.
But if we do what you're talking about, how radical is that? And what kind of light would just beam from us, from this place? Yeah.
And I mean, well, I could get into it. That to me, it is carrying your cross daily, but it's also being formed to be like Christ. And that includes our desires. I really believe that as we follow Jesus, our own desires will start to shift to look more like his, where we will start to want what he wants for us. And it's never going to be perfect. We're going to be sinful till the day we die. However, I believe we can begin to be shaped in more ways than just one. So. Mm-hmm.
This might be opening up a can of worms, but I'm asking because of my own experience, is it always a choice? Because you said it's, we can choose the opposite, and we can choose to desire what Christ has for us. Is it always a choice? Because I have had seasons of my life where it's like, yeah, but I'm too depressed to care about that.
Right.
I'm too depressed to even like, if isolation could be, or complacency could be a sin, I'm too depressed to do the opposite of those things. And right. so I'm just going
right.
to wallow in whatever I'm doing right now. Like, do I need to pay attention to that? Like, what am I doing here? Am I sinning? Am I, what about the things that are not a choice?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, two thoughts come to mind. Maren, you can chime in if you have some different thoughts. I think, first of all, what I said in the message, I stand by it, that you can't do this alone. It's not just the, like, point two at the end was yeah. ask the Spirit to show you your sin, but point three was ask the Father to help you. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a matter of like knowing what you do that's wrong. It's yeah. also a matter of asking God, like, I can't do this on my own. Please that's help good. Me. So that's what the other thing is. And I mentioned this, I think every message, like, you need community to be able to find your way through a lot of this stuff. Mm. Like yeah, you need to have people around you who can speak with discernment, who can guide you, who can call things out in you, who can be there to support you and say, like, I know you're fine staying put, but I'm not fine with you staying put. So I'm going to come alongside you and make you, you know, people who take it upon themselves to love you through what you're facing.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I had one particular struggle that I was being discipled by David Bell. And I asked him one point, would you be okay if I just texted you every time I messed up? And he said, sure. So I did for years, and it got less and less and less because I had another person that I trust. It was like this slow shift in my desire to go that way because I had someone else that was walking through it with me.
Amen to that. Things fester in the dark. Mm. They get worse in the dark. The scripture says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. It's literally like, you know, exposing something to light or to air, and it heals faster that way. We need one another. We need to be confessing to one another, bearing one another's burdens, all of that. I loved the prayer that you had us. You actually gave us three, I would call them breath prayers. Mm-hmm. They're very short little prayers. And each one was so beautiful to me.
They're Trinitarian, if you didn't catch it.
They were.
Were you going to go there? Sorry.
The Lutheran in me just wanted to stand. Do you know they stand on Trinitarian verses in their hymns? Yeah, you can be singing like, a mighty fortress is our God. If there gets to any point where they mention the Trinity, you have to stand up. What? That's Missouri Synod Lutheran for you. But yeah, I didn't know how that had to have been intentional, but you did say Jesus, Spirit, and Father. You said, I surrender to you, Jesus. If you're in that place that Tyler was just talking about of, hey, I'm too depressed to even care, you can pray the prayer today. I surrender to you, Jesus.
Right.
I'm reminded of two scriptures. One that says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not a couple months from now, but today is the day of salvation. And the other scripture that comes to mind is that young man talking to Jesus who said, well, I'll follow you, but let me go bury my father first. Like, no, that's a no-go. Like, he's calling you now. Answer to his call now, not, you know, in a couple of months when I'm feeling better.
Right.
You know, just surrender to him now. And it's as simple as that. I surrender to you, Jesus. The second was, Spirit, show me my sin. Can sin be accidental? Who even knows? What you do is you ask the Spirit to reveal. He will. Spirit, show me my sin. I guarantee there are some things that I have done that I did not realize at the time were sinful or wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I,
yeah. Or you'll ask that, and then you'll be like, that conversation I had, I was being really selfish.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not being selfish intentionally in the moment, perhaps. Maybe it wasn't a choice at that moment, but Spirit, reveal to me my sin. Just show me, what you want me to work on and whatever. And then Father, help me live free. Beautiful. I feel like all three of those prayers work if you're in that space of life where you're just so beat up and so tired and so ragged that you can't even care. Quick little prayers. Father, help me to be free. Jesus, I surrender to you. Spirit, show me my sin. It's not hard. I feel like when you're in the depths of depression or despair, the tunnel looks super tall.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can't claw your way out of it. But the Holy Spirit, they that wait upon the Lord will rise up with wings like an eagle, right? Mm. So you don't even have to claw your way out of the tunnel because the Spirit comes and he lifts you out. You don't even have to do anything. He comes and he lifts you out. Just call on him.
Mm. Boom.
There it is.
All right. Loved it. Loved that this is kind of the kickoff to the year that we're talking about freedom.
Yeah.
And next week, what are we talking about?
Freedom from death and decay. We're going from sin to death.
It's going to be uplifting.
I'm really, really wondering.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. I wonder how people will respond to this next one.
Hopefully they're picking up on the freedom.
Yeah.
And not the death and decay.
Yeah. I hope when someone leaves, they don't say, yeah, we talked about sin today. they say, freedom. We talked about freedom today.
Yeah. Freedom.
Yeah. So
that's coming
decay.
Up. And before that, this Thursday evening at 8:30 p.m., I'm going to do just a Facebook Live on Grace's Facebook page.
Yeah. So what are you going to do here?
So this time I'm going to talk about a bunch more of the background of the book of Romans and the Apostle Paul's journey and like where did he write it? When did he write it? Why did he write it? All that stuff. So for those who want to get more of the background, it'll be cool. I've been doing a lot of study, a lot of reading about that. And so I've got some new insights to share that I didn't actually know before.
8:30
p.m.
P.M. Okay.
I'm going to have to like scurry through rehearsal so
nighttime.
I can catch it live.
And what are you thinking? Like half hour?
It'll be probably like 15, 20 minutes of me just like giving a little spiel and then 10 minutes of interacting, answering a question or two. Yeah. In fact, if you have a question, go ahead and send it in to us somehow. And I'll try
BetweenSundays.us.
I'll try to, and Tyler will
fill out the form and
will tell me. And so, but try to answer a question or two and then, maybe have a prayer and maybe some interaction and that's about it. So
some
it'll be
bunny cuddling.
Not this time because I want to do it on my computer and not my phone. We'll try it out this week and see.
Yeah.
Are you devastated? Fairly certain that some people tuned in just for Humphrey to see the bunny at the end.
Well, then maybe I will do it on my phone. I do have a new phone since last time, so maybe it'll be
just
nicer.
Kind of. Can you hold the bunny up in front of the computer screen?
If Humphrey was okay with me picking him up, absolutely. But he is not. He hates it. He will literally like draw blood to not be picked up. So
all right. Well, we'll look forward to that. I'm looking forward to him. Make an appearance, possibly.
All right. I'll do
Thursdays,
it with the tripod.
8:30 every week during January, right?
Yeah, every week, 4 weeks in a row.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll be there. Next week, producer Jake earlier was like, is it just going to be you, Marion, and Barry the rest of the month? I was like, nah. Yeah, we got to figure that out because we got to get some guests in here. So I'm going to work on that. So we'll see what we can do next week. But until then, Marion, will you please do us the honors and... send us out first time 2019.
I will. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God.
And we'll see you on the other side of Sunday.